So Proverbs chapter 8, we'll read the first 7 verses, and then we'll look at this chapter. The Bible says this, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice unto the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Let's pray. Lord, bless our message this morning. Help us, Lord, as we look at some more attributes about wisdom, and Lord, how we can put it to practice in our life. And thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As before, we've defined wisdom as putting into practice the principles of the Bible. And wisdom is not this, you know, mysterious thing that it's hard to grasp and hard to understand. Wisdom is simply taking what the Bible says and putting it to practice in our life. That's what wisdom is. And in this chapter, we notice some interesting things here. The first thing in verse 1, it starts with some questions. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And what we see in these first few verses here is the invitation of wisdom. Wisdom is sending out an invitation. Now, I'm sure in your lifetime you've received different types of invitations, okay? You've received wedding invitations. In fact, we're going to have a wedding here in just a week and a half or so, a couple weeks. Caitlin's getting married, and our church got an invitation to that. Maybe you've got a graduation invitation. And I told Chad King when he was getting ready to graduate high school, and we were talking about getting buying his graduation invitations. I'm like, hey, send them to anybody you can, all right, whether they can come or not, because they might send some money back with it, all right? So you might get a graduation invitation, maybe a birthday invitation. I read this illustration this week. One of the grandest and most lavish weddings the world's ever seen was held in April 2011 as Prince William married Catherine Middleton. Millions of people around the world watched on television as the future ruler of England was married. In contrast to the great numbers watching electronically, only about 1,900 people were invited to attend the wedding. The royal wedding invitations alone cost an estimated $32,000. Those who received these invitations were the only ones who were allowed to enter the cathedral and observe the wedding in person. All right, so we know about invitations. We understand what they are. Wisdom here is sending out an invitation. Now, you may have never been selected to receive an invitation to something like a royal wedding, but let me say this. The King of Kings has offered an open invitation to all of his children. He invites us to enter the pages of his word and find the principles of wisdom that lead to success in the areas of our life. The invitation is not just for the rich and famous and the well-connected. It's just not for pastors or missionaries or people who may be a spiritual leader. It extends to all who are willing to hear the call and respond. The call of wisdom, the invitation of wisdom is for you, it's for me. And I'm glad God's not a respecter of persons when it comes to obtaining wisdom. Anybody, if you're a Christian, wisdom is available to you. It is. Now, the devil doesn't want you to think it is. And he's going to try to plant all these excuses in your mind why you can't have wisdom. Well, I don't have that great of an education. I just don't maybe understand or comprehend well. Listen, folks, it has nothing to do with your social status, nothing to do with your education, has everything to do with your hunger to get it. God makes it available. He extends the invitation. Now, I thought it was interesting here, as wisdom sends out an invitation, there are some specific groups here that wisdom is inviting or calling out to. First of all, look what it says in verse 3. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Now, if you understand your Bible, you'll understand what those phrases as far as the gates and the entry of the city and the coming at the doors means, all right? This is responding. Wisdom is, first of all, calling out to those in leadership, all right? Because in the olden days, the government of the city took place at the gates. And wisdom here's first cry is to those in leadership. If anybody needs wisdom, it's those who lead other people. I'm just telling, and by the way, that's most everybody. All of us lead. But here specifically, it's talking about those in a government position. Now, I know that sounds like an exaggerated statement for our political leaders to be synonymous with the word wisdom. But that is, by the way, that's the way it once was, and that's the way God intended for it to be now. God intended for a nation to be governed with wisdom. By the way, I think some of our political leaders do have some wisdom. And the reason I say that is because I personally talked to some of our leaders back in March when I went to Washington, D.C. And there are some leaders in our nation that do have some wisdom. But unfortunately, that's not the majority. And you know what? Our nation is not the way it used to be. And it's not the way it was when our country was founded. I realize that the spiritual condition of America rests upon the shoulders of the church house and not the White House. We understand that. But could you imagine what our country used to be when the majority of our founding fathers attended the church house? I mean, by the way, folks, that's the way it used to be. Why do you think God blessed us so much in such a short period of time? I'll tell you why. It's because our founding fathers took heed to and accepted the invitation of wisdom. And God wants those in leadership, and specifically here, those in government leadership, to heed to the invitation of wisdom. That's the first group wisdom calls out to. Then look with me, if you will, in verse 4. Listen to what it says here. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Now, if you look up that phrase, sons of man, it gives us the idea of a family. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that if the families of America, that even if the families that were even called themselves Christians would accept the invitation of wisdom, our families in America would be different. I promise you that's true. I bet the divorce rate wouldn't be 50%. I bet the third leading cause of young people between the ages of 15 and 24 wouldn't be suicide. I'm sure of the fact that if the families of America would accept the invitation of wisdom, there would be less heartache, less sorrow, less brokenness, and less pain. But you know the reason, folks, that we're in the mess we're in is because people have rejected the invitation of wisdom. It's available, it's there, but people have rejected it. As the leadership of the home, the responsibility of instilling wisdom falls primarily on the shoulders of we as men. It's our job to set the example and lead our families in the paths of wisdom. For the most part, what I found to be true is this. If a man will lead in wisdom, most of the time a woman will want to follow in the paths of wisdom. Now, I know there may be some exceptions to that, but let me just say this. God has put the desire in the heart of a woman to follow. That's a God-given desire. Now, our world has warped that, and our world and the devil and all this crazy stuff out there has tried to change that. But listen, you know, God made women that way because there's security in that. That's the way God made them. And if we as men will lead in the example of wisdom, if you have a good Christian wife, she'll follow you. And let me just say this, even if maybe she's, okay, all of us, no, I shouldn't say just she, but all of us, maybe wouldn't be that great of a Christian, there's just something about the security of a man that will lead that a woman will follow. And I'm just telling you, folks, our families need to respond to the call of wisdom. Men, when we stand at the judgment seat and have to give an answer to God for how we lead our families, Adam's response from the garden when God confronted him won't suffice. Here's what Adam said when God confronted him about leading his family. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. You know what Adam did when God confronted him with his rejection of the invitation to wisdom? He pointed his finger at his wife. And you know what? I think we as men probably have been guilty of that ourselves in our lifetime, right? Listen, you know what? Sorry, guys, but that excuse won't cut it when facing God at the judgment seat. When it comes to whether or not we led our families in wisdom. As men, we need to man up, take responsibility, and lead our family to heed the invitation of wisdom. It's our job as men to lead in those areas. So you see the call of wisdom to those in government. You see the call of wisdom to the families. And then look here in verse 5. You see another call of wisdom, invitation of wisdom going out. The first three words say this, O ye simple, understand wisdom. The cry of wisdom goes out to the simple. Now remember, a simple person is a person who is ignorant. And by the way, all of us at one time were simple. I mean, hey, we all at one point didn't know much, all right? And unless you're a teenager, then you know everything. But for the most part, most of us don't know much, okay? At one point in our life, we did not. We had to learn, okay? And by the way, that's the way God made us, okay? I mean, hey, we don't expect our kindergartners to have the same level of understanding than we do our 12th graders, okay? And that makes sense to us, okay? It's okay at one time to be simple, but there's no excuse to be simple or to remain simple. That's no excuse. All right? Hey, especially if you come to a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, especially having a pastor like Pastor Jerry Ross, and especially having the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And there's no reason, there's no excuse for us to stay simple. By the way, wisdom's cry, invitation goes out to the simple. I think sometimes as Christians, we want to be simple so that we can have deniability if things go bad. I'm serious about that. I mean, how many times have I heard this? Well, I didn't know. I didn't know. Well, you know what God says? God says wisdom's going out so you can know. All right? So you don't remain simple. I remember one time after I graduated Bible college and was transitioning into the year where I started working here at the church, I had a few month period before I started working at the church where I was doing floor covering full time. And I remember one time me and Brother Bob Ross, we drove to Minneapolis, Minnesota in the wintertime of all times, all right? Thanks, David, for that. And we drove to Minneapolis in December and January to do some carpet at some stores. And we had to take some guys with us, and because just him and I couldn't do this on our own. So we took some guys with us, and we tried to scrounge around and find some guys, and we scrounged around all right, and we found some rascals to take with us. And I remember this one time we were driving through Minneapolis in the traffic and trying to figure out where we were going, and Bob looks at this guy that he brought with him, and he handed him a map. He says, "Hey, look at this and tell me where we need to go." And this guy's like, "Well, I can't do that." He's like, "What do you mean you can't do that? Just look at it and tell, well, I can't." Well, Bob says, "Why can't you do that?" He says, "Because I don't want to tell you wrong, because if I look at it, if we go wrong, I'll be responsible for that. I just don't want to take the responsibility of looking at a map," okay? That's called being simple and wanting to stay simple, okay? Now, listen, when it comes to wisdom, okay, we cannot afford to stay simple. Being simple is dangerous. It's dangerous. If you're simple, you're easy pickings for the devil and his wiles. All right? So wisdom's call goes out to the simple. So you know what the simple needs to do? Receive the invitation of wisdom. All right? Because the call is out there. All right? The invitation's out there for those in government, for the families, for the simple. Look at the next category God says here, again in verse 5. "Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom." And look at this last part. "And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." God, the invitation of wisdom even goes out to the fool. Now, why is that? The reason that is so is because God doesn't want anybody to be a fool. That's not what God desires. God doesn't want people to be foolish. And by the way, if a person is foolish, it's because they choose to be so. Because wisdom is available to cure foolishness. By the way, the remedy of a fool is to accept the invitation of wisdom. Now, here's the thing. All of us, more than likely, sometime in our life, or maybe even now, have had foolish tendencies. Now, just because you may have some foolish tendencies doesn't necessarily make you a fool, even though you may have some foolish tendencies. But let me just say this. All of us, though, need to replace the foolish tendencies with wisdom. Okay? Wisdom can transform you into another person. I mean, a person that has wisdom is a person that God can use to accomplish things for him. I mean, the only thing a fool is used for most of the time in Scripture is for an illustration of how not to do or how not to be something. I mean, I don't want my life, I mean, that be my legacy. Look at that guy and don't do what he's doing. But here's the thing, if we don't heed the invitation of wisdom, more than likely there's going to be things in our lives where that will be said of us. All right, so the invitation of wisdom goes out to the fool. I mean, it would be hard to imagine for someone to get invited to an event like the royal wedding we just talked about and then refuse to attend. I mean, you know, you get this, you know, a very small percentage of an invitation given to you, and you're telling me you're not going to go? Yet each day, many people refuse to listen to the voice of wisdom. Wisdom's invitation is sent out to all God's children. Yet how many treat it like a piece of junk mail that sits on our counter for weeks before and thrown away? Is that our attitude toward the invitation of wisdom? The invitation has gone out. It's been sent out to those in authority, to families, to the simple, to the fool. Will you accept the invitation of wisdom? Now, the next thing we want to look at is the importance of wisdom. The importance of wisdom. Let's read verses 8 through 19, if you will. All right, let's look at it. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom, I'm understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, princes decree justice. By me princes rule, nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. The importance of wisdom. I also read this illustration this week. The Burrow Schmidt Tunnel near Garlock, California, is half a mile long, 6 feet tall, and 10 feet wide. It was dug entirely by hand through the solid granite of the El Paso Mountains. William Burrow Schmidt, a gold miner in the early 1900s, faced a difficult journey over the mountains to get his ore to the smelter at Mojave, so he began constructing a tunnel with a shovel, pick, and a hammer that would allow him to avoid the dangerous mountain passes. At least that's what he told those who inquired. Even after a modern road was built in 1920, removing the need for Schmidt's tunnel, he continued to work on his project. He said he was obsessed with finishing the work he'd begun and continued to dig until he finished a tunnel in 1938. In reality, Schmidt had discovered an incredibly rich vein of gold ore that led back into the mountain. His story of digging a tunnel was just to ensure that no one would try to take his gold claim. No one ever found out exactly how much gold ore Schmidt found during his work. William Schmidt ore divided, William Burrow Schmidt devoted much of his life to the search for gold. Though gold had great monetary value, understand that it's only worth temporal. It's only has a temporal value of gold. In fact, by the way, gold, you know what God uses gold for? He uses paving material in heaven. Read what the Bible says. And then here's the thing. Rather than spending our time trying to acquire the things that will one day perish, we should focus on those things that are eternal. When the tally of our life is taken, our net worth will not matter. That is why God says this about wisdom. Receive my instruction and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to it. That's the value God puts on wisdom. In verse 19, it said this, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So God puts a high value of importance on the obtaining of wisdom. God says, look, anything that is of value in this world is nothing compared to the value of wisdom, nothing. I mean, it's more valuable than anything you can imagine. That's how important wisdom should be to you. Now, if you read on down, you'll understand why God gives us some insight into why he considers wisdom important, all right? He tells us some things here that the importance of wisdom or the priority of wisdom will do for us in our life. Number one, it will help us to hate the right things. Look what it says in verse 13. As soon as God tells us the value of wisdom, here's what he says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, let me just say this. Hate is not a wrong emotion as long as it's directed at the right things. Hey, God is the one that made us with the emotion of hate. Now, the problem is where we get ourselves in trouble is that instead of hating the things that God hates, most of the time, you know what we hate? Other people. And nowhere does God say we should hate other people. But there are some things that God hates. And by the way, I think that as Christians, we need to hate the things God hates. Now, most people you talk to, especially people who want to argue with you, always want to talk about God being a God of love. Now, let me say this. He is a God of love. And I'm so thankful for the love of God and what it encompasses. I mean, hey, if it weren't for John 3:16, folks, we all would be crispy critters. I mean, hey, I'm so thankful for the love of God. But just because God has an infinite capacity to love doesn't mean there aren't some things that God hates. There could be a whole sermon on the things that God hates, but here is a list here that God says that sums them all up. And if you have wisdom, the importance of wisdom will help you to hate the right things. Here's what they are. The list is this: evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. The word froward means perverse. It means fraudulent. And it's talking about the things that we speak. So one of the most important things of having wisdom in our lives is so we can know how to hate the right things. By the way, as a Christian, there ought to be some things on your hate list. And by the way, if you hate sin enough, then maybe the next time you're tempted with it, you won't fall for the temptations that the devil brings along your way. If you hate sin the way God hates it. If you begin to look at things the way God hates it. Hey, the reason we ought to hate these things is so that we'll hate him so much that we understand that God hates him and God's attitude toward him, and we won't have him in our life. All right? Now, what's hard to do is to hate the sin and not hate the person. That's hard to do. But listen, wisdom will help you distinguish between the two. All right, we hate sin, but we're never commanded to hate people. By the way, that's God's MO. That's God's example. We're to follow him in that area. All right? So the importance of wisdom will help you to hate the right things. Number two, the importance of wisdom. Man, this is really interesting. God really brought this out to me. Will allow you to help people with their problems. Now, I want you to read here with me, or as I read, follow along, verses 14 through 16. Notice the words given in this verse. Okay, the verbs and the nouns here. All right, here's what it says. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign. Princes decree justice. By me princes rule. Nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, if you looked at those words in there, you saw words like counsel, sound. That word sound means supported wisdom. Understanding, strength, reign, justice, rule, judges. What do all these words have in common? I'll tell you what they have in common. They are all dealing with the solving of problems or conflicts. And that's what this verse is teaching us here. I don't know about you, but you know what? I've come across some problems in my life. And you know what? Not only have I come across some problems of my own, but there's been times where I've needed to help other people with their problems. Now, how can I figure out my own problems and be available to help others with their problems? How in the world can I do that? I can do that if I see the importance of having wisdom. Now, having wisdom doesn't mean that you'll always have the answers immediately. Or you know what? There's some things that we're not going to know till we get to heaven. But let me say this. Having wisdom does mean that you're going to be way more apt to help other people and to be a problem solver. Let me tell you what we got to do as Christians, especially as those in leadership, men, especially us as men, we need to be problem solvers. I mean, look, we can't afford to react to every time a problem or every time an uncomfortable situation comes in our life to curl up in a fetal position and whine to our wives. We can't afford to do that, men. No, I'm serious. You know what makes a strong family? A strong man. That's what makes a strong family. And how in the world can you be a strong man? How can you have the answers that you need for life when it comes to all the crazy things that are going on? Well, wisdom will help you with that. By the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that when we read about Solomon and God pouring wisdom upon him, immediately God gives us an illustration of Solomon's wisdom. I mean, you remember the problem. I think we've used this illustration before. It's not a new illustration. Of immediately, a problem came before Solomon. Oh, by the way, I guarantee this wasn't the only type of problem that Solomon dealt with like this, but this was a pretty good one here. Remember the story of where the two women brought the baby to the king? And they both said that it was their baby, and they both had a baby, and one of them rolled over on it and killed it at night, and they're both claiming the baby, and they bring it before the king. Now you think about this, okay? Solomon didn't probably have much time to prep for this answer. I mean, hey, this was boom right here. I mean, and by the way, the word of the king was the law. Whatever he said would have gone. And he had people's lives in the balance here. But you remember the story. I mean, think about that. Who gives an answer like Solomon gave? Bring me a sword. I'll cut the baby in half and give a half to each. And of course, the woman whose baby it was responded in a way any mother would. No, don't do it. Give it to the other woman. And immediately, he realized who the mother was. Now, where would an answer or where would an ability to solve a problem like that come from? It came from wisdom. It came from wisdom. Now, let me tell you something, folks. There's many baby-dividing problems that we're going to have in our lives. And we need the wisdom of God to distinguish the fact. I mean, dads, we need wisdom to help our wives and children in this crazy, whacked-out world we're living in. I mean, folks, I mean, this is crazy to think, okay? When I was my kid's age, okay, I don't even think I know what a homosexual was. But do you realize this day and age we're living in? I mean, folks, it was on our front lawn not that long ago. Now, my kids, everywhere we go, Dad, are they gay? Look at the way they're acting. I mean, my five-year-old asked me that now. I mean, how do I have the wisdom to help my children grow up in this crazy culture we're living in? The only answer, folks, is wisdom. It's wisdom. Wisdom has to be important to us, okay? And if we'll do that, it will help us to help people solve their problems, all right? Now, remember this, okay? Cut your preacher a little bit of slack, all right? It doesn't mean every time you go to him with the question, boom, immediately he's going to be able to rip it off and answer off to you. And if he doesn't, he doesn't have wisdom. That's not what I'm trying to say. Okay, so understand that. I mean, some problems, folks, are pretty complex, okay? But I will say this, all right? If you have the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, God can enable you and help you to get some answers to the problems, all right? And by the way, that's the importance of wisdom. So the importance of wisdom will help us to hate the right things. It will allow us to help other people with their problems. Number three, it will help us to see the true value of things. Look what it says here in verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now, if you're not careful, it's easy to look at that verse and think of the teaching of Joel Osteen and your best life now type philosophy. I mean, hey, if I have wisdom, I'm going to be loaded. Did you notice the verse, that the word in there that distinguishes it? Did you notice it? Let me read it to you one more time. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. You know what the word there is? Durable. Durable riches. Now, I asked myself this question when I was studying. What riches are durable? What riches are durable? In fact, the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, then they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. That doesn't sound very durable to me. I mean, come on, folks, you know how it is. You get paid, and the next thing you ask yourself, where'd the money go? You know where it goes? It flies away. It's gone. It's bye-bye. See you later. Okay, I mean, so what's the Bible talking about when it says durable riches? Well, God has an answer for that. All right, Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. Let me read it to you. All right, you know the verses, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. That doesn't sound very durable. Moth, rust, thieves, stealing, that's not durable. Okay, let's keep reading. But here's the contrast right here. God's going to answer the question about durable riches. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let me answer that question for us. What are durable riches? Durable riches are things of eternal value. That's durable riches. And you know what wisdom will help you do? It will help you understand the importance of being able to distinguish what is temporal and what is eternal. Let me tell you something as Christians. You know where we get ourselves in trouble a lot? We get our eyes on the temporal and we forget about the eternal. And that is a deception of the devil. The devil doesn't want you thinking about eternity. He doesn't want you thinking about the things that are going to matter 100 years from now. He wants us to focus on the petty, on the things that aren't going to matter 100 years from now. Well, I mean, if you think about this, and the Bible gives us an answer. What on this earth right now is eternal? What is eternal right now that's on this earth that we can invest in? There's one answer. The souls of man. Souls of man. Now, you know what? It's not going to matter in eternity how much money I make this week. That's not going to matter one bit. But you know what is going to matter? If some kids get to VBS and get saved, that's going to matter. It's not going to matter 1,000 years from now what kind of car is parked in my driveway. But children, teens, and adults that are lost on their way to hell and get saved will well be worth me investing in now. That's durable riches. And the importance of wisdom will help us see that the true value of something is not measured in dollars, gold, or anything material, but is measured in the eternal worth of a soul. Now, God gives us money and material things to use as tools to help us send ahead true, durable riches. There's nothing wrong with having money. In fact, you got to have money to live. You got to have it. okay? But we got to keep our perspective and our attitude right about it. Money is a tool to live life, folks. And the reason we're to live life is so we can be laying up durable riches. So we see the invitation of wisdom. We see the importance of wisdom. And one last thing here, and I really don't have time to develop this, but I want to give it to you, is the inheritance of wisdom. Look in verse 21. Listen to what it says here. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, this kind of is tied to the point above here, okay? But when it's talking about inheriting substance and filling your house with treasure, all right, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, compare scripture with scripture, understanding what it's saying there, okay? It's not saying that if you have wisdom, God promises to give you anything you want. That's not what it's saying, okay? I mean, you know, God's not this genie in a bottle, okay? We rub him and he pops out and God gives us any wish we want. That's not God, okay? But what he's saying here is this. Well, let me just go to some other scripture and enlighten what that verse says. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says this. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here you go. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So you know what the inheritance of wisdom is? The inheritance of wisdom is being able to lay ahead things in eternity. That's the inheritance of wisdom. And if you have wisdom, folks, then you will do that. You know what wisdom will help you do? It will help you live for eternity. That's what wisdom will do. All right? And listen, we all need to live for eternity. I mean, folks, it's crazy. I mean, this world is getting wackier and wackier, not by the year, not by the month, not by the week, by the day. By the day. I mean, Pastor wrote the article that he wrote a few weeks ago. You read it when the whole judge thing overturned the ban on same-sex marriage in Indiana. He wrote an article using plain common sense and things from the Bible that anyone 50 years ago, most people would agree with. He wrote it, published it in a Bloomington paper. 115 comments, not one of them is positive. Not one. I mean, folks, and that's just a small sampling of the crazy, crazy things that are going on in this day and age we're living in. I mean, look, if you've ever been waiting to live for eternity, I wouldn't wait anymore. I mean, it's getting closer and closer and closer. I mean, you know, I'm not obviously going to get off on this whole prophecy tangent thing, but listen, folks, it's true. I mean, as in the days of Lot, as in the days of Noah, we are living in the days of Lot. We're living there. I mean, Jesus said, when you see the days like the days of Noah, the days of Lot, the coming of the Son of Man is near. And it is near, folks. We can't afford not to live for eternity. I mean, hey, this could be the last VBS Blessed Hope Baptist Church ever gets to participate in. I believe that. I believe this could be it. I mean, we may never have another chance to run those buses, pick up boys and girls, get them here, and see kids saved before the trumpet sounds. We may not even get the chance tomorrow. Who knows? Let me just say this. Live for eternity. And having wisdom will help you understand the inheritance of wisdom, which is living for eternity. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Proverbs. Thank you for these principles you taught us this morning. Help us, God. We all need you, Lord, and we all need wisdom. Lord, we need it more than anything in our lives. So help us, Lord, to see the importance of it. Lord, to understand, Lord, why we need to have it. We thank you for it. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.